With the head of my enemy, you come back and you call it my victory.
See?
surrounding me, let it break at your name and still call the sea to still, the raging me to still. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus,
Hallelujah. Lift up a praise in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. He makes darkness tremble. He silences all our fears. And not only that, he's faithful to us. His promises for you and me still stand. He hasn't changed his mind. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you hear. His promises still stand. Great is his faithfulness. And for that, he deserves a praise this morning. Hallelujah. We serve a great God. And Lord, we thank you today that your promises are true. They are yes and amen. And we thank you for that today. God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, even when we're not faithful to you. And God, we repent today for not trusting you. Every time you made us a promise and we looked another way, God, we repent. Lord, we love you. And this point going forward, we'll stand on your word, because we know that your word is true and it cannot lie. We thank you for that today. We honor you, Lord. We thank you. And the people of God said, amen. Give him a praise as you have your seats. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Well, welcome to Carpenter Shop Church this morning, the first Sunday of 2019. Welcome to 2019. I have high expectations for this year, don't you? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I went through some things in 2018. But Paul told me to forget what is behind. And he told me to press forward for the prize. Y'all, there's a prize when we persevere. God is faithful. Hallelujah. So we'd like to welcome you to Carpenter Shop. Do we have any visitors this morning? Any visitors in the building? If not, you're welcome anyway. If you're shy, you're still welcome. We thank you, and we'd like for you to meet with our pastor at the back, at the Welcome Center at the end of service, if you would. We have a gift for you. Welcome to Shop. It is offering time. Hallelujah. Offering time. Give him a praise. It's offering time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is now in the hands of the ushers. Please worship as you give.
Always playing, it never stops. He always sings over me. He always loves me. He's always with me. He is always good. He's always with me, he's always good. And in the wrestling of emotions, the roller coaster of changing seasons, in the highs and in the working all things for me to a legacy, a mark on history. All the dreams that I've had, let it be said of me, more than anything, I lived your message, tried to understand.
I'm thankful that he always loves me, especially today starting a new year, our first Sunday of the month. The year started this week. I grew up celebrating today as Old Christmas. My family always did Old Christmas today, so today was the official end of the Christmas season. Something new was starting tomorrow, so that's always something that, you know, nice to think about, that we get a fresh start as the year is going on. We're excited about the kids ministry this year. New things are coming, new vision, new exciting things going on this year. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. This is a great year to start off maybe being involved in the kids ministry, the nursery ministry, the upstairs, whatever way that you can find yourself, even if it's just for a few months, you just want to try it out. Come see me after service. We'd love to have you involved this year. We're also, it would be great if at home, you guys will receive a handout at the end of the service. And not only does that handout tell you what we've talked about upstairs today, but it's going to tell you what we're going to talk about next week as well, so that you can sit around your table at home and take a look and say, hey, here's what you guys are going to talk about next week. Upstairs, we're talking about in the preschool room the story of Samuel and Saul being anointed. And in the elementary room, we're talking about the story of Ruth and how God is our redeemer and how he redeems us, he buys us back. So at this time, parents, if you'd walk your kids down the hallway to the left, check them in at the table, and you can pick them up at the end of the service. Thank you.
...2019, the year to hear. Come on, somebody. Come on. The year to hear. The year to hear. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you, God, that you've gathered with us in this place today. I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for its outreach. I want to thank you, God, for your provision for the things that we need to accomplish. I want to thank you for vision for the future. I want to thank you for faithful people. I want to thank you that today, Lord, you'll meet with us at an altar service. I want to thank you that today we'll get a picture into another country. I want to thank you that today there's a missionary present that will share her life with us. I want to thank you, God, that when we leave this place today, we'll be able to say lives were changed. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Praise the Lord. It was Tuesday of this past week. You know how it goes, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It was Tuesday of this past week when Pastor Joy and I prepared to work with the normal routine, you know, get up, clean up, spruce up, load up. Come on, how many of y'all get into that routine this morning? Get up, clean up, spruce up, load up, take off to your destination called work, jobs, employment. Activities that keep you busy, activities that keep you focused and pointed on what specifically God has ordained that you do, at least until you're 65. Well, now they're moving it up. I got good news. I can start drawing mine at 67 now. Amen. We were in the kitchen area dropping coffee. You know, we love to make that decision in the morning. Do we make a pot of real stuff or do we use the Keurig? Y'all like the Keurig? I like the Keurig. And we were dropping the coffee, and Pastor Joy asked me the question that we often routinely ask every day. How are you feeling? What's the plan? What's on tap for today? We were just kind of, you know, just being kind to one another. We wake up kind to one another. We don't wake up and start arguing. Amen. We save that for later on in the day. Come on. Amen. Come on, just jab your elbow and say, I told you they were normal. But she asked me those questions, you know, how are you feeling this morning, baby? And what's the plan? And what's on tap for your day? And I responded honestly. I did. I said, I feel depressed. You know, she didn't know it, but I was in there, you know, several minutes, maybe 12, 15 minutes, just having, you know, morning with the dog. Let him out. Time to poop. Let them back in. Want some eats? Eats. Time to eat. Same old bowl every day. Same old dry food every day. But she gets so excited about it. You know? Tail wagging. She loves eating. So we finished that, and I said to her, I said, I just feel depressed. I don't know what it is or even how to express it other than I just feel like there's a cloud that is settled on top of me, and I have this morning a very depressed feeling. She said, I do too. I don't understand what's going on. She concurred with my feelings and, as I said, expressed the same. So we grabbed our personal belongings, you know. You look at the phone. It's time to get out of here. You got places to go and places to be. We hopped into the car and we made our way down the road for another day of work and ministry. And when I got in the car, I said, well, Lord, I just said it out loud. We were turning down Choan Trail, hitting highway toward 32, Rocky Hawk Road, we call it. I said, well, Lord, your word says in Psalm 3:3, for thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, the glory and the lifter of my head. I just said it out loud. You know, we're just taking that Mazda 7 and just running right ahead. I said, Lord, you're a shield about me, the glory and the lifter of my head. Then I said, God, I just thank you that Psalm 52, verse 12 said that you would go before us and that you would be our rear guard. Pastor Joy said, that's right, Lord. We're having church now in the car. The atmosphere is shifting. She said, Proverbs 5:12 says, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous and your favor surrounds us like a shield. I said, go ahead, girl. Somebody take up an offering. Let's do something real religious here. I said, turn on 128 satellite. Let's listen to Joel. And we started laughing. But you know what happened? That cloud of depression started lifting off of us. That cloud of depression started leaving us. It slipped away like a vapor. Then we were on the phone just moments after that, dialing people up on the way. Hey, good morning. Just want to speak a word into your life this morning. People crying and snotting on the phone and saying, Pastor, so glad you called me this morning. The whole atmosphere shifted. Do you hear what I hear? How many of you remember the Verizon guy? Can you hear me now? What happened here, friends? What happened here is the same thing that happens all the time. You can either listen to the voices that are speaking to you in the atmosphere every day of your life, or you can listen to the report of the Lord. Come on. You can either listen to what the world says. You can turn on the news and you can wonder, are they out of the government shutdown now? Are we going to have a wall? You can argue about it back and forth, yay or nay. But can I just tell you something this morning? The best thing that you can cultivate and listening ear for is the word of Almighty God, because it is steadfast, it is true, it is sure, it is certain, it will never fade away. And we encouraged one another in our faith. And then all of a sudden, as that cloud of depression began to lift, we just encouraged one another. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30 says, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. And I don't know about you, but I'm convinced there won't a devil within miles of our car as we run down the road because they say, hey, leave that one alone. Because we were in an attitude of worship. Same book, Deuteronomy 28, verse 7, declares, the Lord will grant that the enemies that rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but will flee from seven. You see? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. Come on, church. Can you hear this morning? It's the year to hear. It's the time to hear because it's a reality. We have so many things that are vying for our attention. So many things. You know, we live in a world where hearing is so important. Everything's based on what you hear and, you know, turn it up and volume and got it in your hand and, you know, you sync it with your car. You know, I get in my car and everything syncs with my automobile. You can lay the phone down or whatever you're doing. It's going to come through those Bose speakers in the door, sound a whole lot better than coming through that little phone in your hand. Amen. Because it's synchronized. You and I have to be synchronized with what God says in His Word. And Pastor Joy and I heard that morning the Lord clearly speaking to us. You know, we could have done the other. We could have not acted on it. We could have not said a word. We could have not, you know, just addressed it. We could have just got in the car and just kind of drove down the road with this terrible look on our face and fed into that depression or said, I got to have something. Give me a Red Bull. We could have done something. You know, I'm amazed at when you notice what people drink. I see people drinking Red Bull that don't need a Red Bull, man. They need a Lolly Lamb. They need something to calm them down, and they're drinking Red Bull. Caffeine drinks, monster drinks, energy drinks, juice me up drinks. You don't need to be juiced up, honey. You need to be slowed down. You need Psalm 46 in a can. Be still and know that I'm God. Okay? And let just be still for a minute. Let me calm your raging self down. We heard the Lord speak to us. Are you going to listen to me? Are you going to hear me? Are you going to receive my instruction? You see, God began to speak to us. We heard Him drop life into our lifeless situation right then. We heard Him release presence on our pity. We heard Him speak blessing over our bondage that we were beginning to experience there in the kitchen of our home. I want to tell you that you and I need ears to hear what the Spirit of God says, not what the enemy says. I love that phrase in the book of Revelation. We're going to be walking down through the churches of Revelation here in the next few weeks. And we're going to be examining the church because guess what? We're a church. Amen. And we're going to see what Jesus said to the church. And we're going to discover that Jesus walked through the midst of the church and He held them in His hands. Can I just tell you something today? He holds this church in His hands. But better than that, He holds the church in His hands. Okay? And she needs a lot of work. She needs revival. But guess what? Jesus is in control. And I believe that 2019 is a breakthrough year. I believe that it's a year that the church is going to move forward in triumph and victory. And that means if the church moves forward in triumph and victory, guess what? You move forward in triumph and victory. Come on, give the Lord praise. I love that phrase in the book of Revelation. I read it several times just this past week. He that hath an ear, help me here, church, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He that has an ear, let him hear. I don't know about you, but I want to hear. I want to hear what God is saying. Somebody say, I need ears to hear. Come on, say it. I need ears to hear. And if you hear what the Lord has already said about us, you know what you'll do? You'll walk in victory, not defeat. But I got news for you. It is a conditional promise. It's not just granted to you because you're a child of God. It doesn't just come with the package because you gave your heart and life to Christ and now you're born again, so you get everything just for nothing. No, life calls for sacrifice. Life calls for obedience. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're hanging out there for just a few minutes. And look at what he says here. I love it. He says, if. Somebody say if. If you fully obey. Did you know that there's a difference in obedience and total obedience? How many of you had kids that followed the rules but not fully? You know? They were home by 11, but they had alcohol on their breath. Something's wrong here, isn't it? Okay? They cleaned up their room, but they threw it all under the bed. Come on. Okay? Did you get it cleaned up? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful. No, look under the bed. Okay? Look in the closet. Look in the air-conditioned vent, okay? That was for somebody special, okay? He says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully, notice the adverbs here, if you carefully follow all his commands, not some of them, then I give you today, what I give you today, he says, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations, somebody say nations, of the earth. And you say, what is he talking about? What kind of nation are you talking about? Is he saying that this is a special promise for the good old U.S. of A.? Is this a special promise just for that tiny spot we called Israel that literally is a mirror for the entire world? Well, yes, those are promises to those nations. But he's talking about the nation that we make up as God's people. How many of you have ever heard or seen it on Facebook? Cowboy Nation, buddy. We call ourselves a nation. No, I don't like the Cowboys. I just used it as an illustration. Don't get happy. I'm still a Redskin fan. Redskin Nation, mama. I knew I'd get some response out of y'all before it's over with. But he says, listen, if you do these things, if you follow my statutes carefully, obey my commands, he says, I will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Remember the Epistle of Peter where he says, you are a holy nation? You are a separated people. How so? Because you've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. So he considers you a nation, you Christians, you people of the book, you people who follow the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You're a nation of Christians. And he says, if you'll do this, he says in verse 2, all the blessings. Woo. Come on now, catch this. Amen. All the blessings. Somebody say, I want all the blessings. All the blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. I was thinking about, you know, you got people that say, you know, I really don't understand it, man. I work hard, I pay my bills, and it seems like it's one step forward and two steps back. Look in your journal. Where are you spending your money? How much money did you give to the kingdom this year? How much money did you sow into the kingdom of God? Did you give at least 10%? Did you tithe your income, which is holy unto the Lord? Did you set apart 10 cents out of every dollar? Did you do that? Because if you did, then guess what? You have the opportunity to lay claim on the promises that he will open up the windows of heaven and release out, pour out blessings upon you that you should not even have room enough to contain them. That's the promise of God. He says, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city, verse number 3. You'll be blessed in the country. You can live out there where you pump your water. God says, I'll still bless you. Or you can live in town where you just pay the water bill. If you're in a Husky, you better pay the water bill. They'll cut you off. Okay? Amen. I'm going to tell you what, it's due the first, the second. They're out there with the hand on the lever saying, turn that sucker off if they didn't get your money. You got to pay your bill. He says, all the blessings of the city and the blessings in the country. Verse number 4, he says, the fruit of your womb will be blessed. And the crops of your land and the young of your livestock and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. God said, I'm going to bless you right down to your dog, honey. I'll bless your kittens. I'll bless your lambs. I'll bless your goats. Somebody say, bah. God says, I'm going to bless you. I want to bless everything about you. I'll bless you if you're in the city. I'll bless you in the country. God is in the blessing business, but it's conditional because God only blesses those who fully obey his commands. Amen? Amen? Some of y'all are not going to like this, but guess what? It's true. He says in verse 5, your basket's going to be full. Your kneading trough, where you make your biscuits. You say, well, I don't make biscuits. I depend on the doughboy. I know that. I understand this culture. But he's speaking to us here, and he's saying, listen, you're not going to lack for your Pillsbury biscuits, okay? Because I am going to bless you. You will be blessed, verse number 6, when you come in, and blessed when you go out. Everywhere you go, you're going to be blessed. Verse number 7, the Lord will grant that the enemies, I love this, who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in 7. The Lord, verse 8, will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. Have you ever looked at somebody and thought, you know what? They're just blessed, man. A matter of fact, Pastor Josh and I were talking just a couple of days ago. How many of y'all enjoyed Jordan Rigg last week? He stood over here and played the guitar along with Josh. Great player. Josh described him as a monster player. Okay? I guess that's, you know, I'm 57, so I wouldn't call him a monster player. That would be like, he's huge. But he called him a monster player. And then we got talking about Jordan. He said, man, he's a blessing. He said, him and I have been connected for years. He said, you know what? He said, man, everything that God touches is blessed. That's how we talk about people. He said, everything he's endeavored to do, God has blessed it. What a wonderful characteristic to be known by. And you look around at other people and you describe people that way too. And can I just submit something to you? People look at you as a child of the living God and they say the same thing about you. You know Pastor Josh, Carpenter Shop Church, plays the guitar, leads worship. That guy's blessed. Everything he touches is blessed. They say the same thing about you. You know why? Because you're a child of God. You're a child of God. And that's the way it should be. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you're thinking, you know what? I wish I was more blessed. I wish I had more. Can I just tell you how to have more? Give more. You want to have more? You want to have more? You want to see a greater deposit number in your bank account? You want to see a better balance number in your check? Give some of it away. I discovered a long time ago, Luke 6:38 is so true. Give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God will cause men to pour into your lap. Praise God. You know, I've been so blessed by God's people sowing into our lives. But guess what I've also enjoyed? I've also enjoyed, as a child of God, pouring blessing into other people's lives. And I guarantee you, if there are people that are sitting in this room that you've been in restaurants and your pastor has walked up and paid your bill and said, hey, man, have a good day. God bless. Well, thank you, pastor. I said, hey, don't sweat it, man. People done the same thing for me. In fact, just last week I was in a restaurant and I paid for somebody else's meal. And when I got to the restaurant, somebody else had paid for mine. Okay? Give and it shall be what? Given to you. Some of you are sitting here with your attitude. I wouldn't begin to look at your faces and call your names, but I guarantee in a crowd this size, there's people sitting here saying, well, you never bought my lunch. You know what? And if you got that kind of attitude, I ain't never buying your lunch. Okay? You never bought my lunch. And you know what? Probably nobody ever will buy your lunch because you got a spirit of stinginess and greediness, and you don't even deserve a free lunch. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's just the truth. God wants to bless you. He says in verse 6, you'll be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. Look down at verse 9. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep his commandments of the Lord, your God, and walk in what? Obedience to him. Then, verse 10, all the peoples of the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they'll fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your ground in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. God has the spirit of a father who sincerely wants to bless his offspring. And he's got a big family, man. Sand on the beach, stars in the sky. God's got a big old family. But he wants to bless you. Verse number 12, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, and send rain on your land in season and bless all the work of your hands. And you will lend, ooh, I like this. You will lend to many, but will borrow from none. Amen. Amen. You will lend and not borrow. How many of y'all have had to borrow money before? I certainly have. I don't like to borrow money. I borrowed money when I didn't have any other choice but to say, hey, could you help me out? See? But God's given me the abundance of his blessing to be able. I've had people to say to me, hey, pastor, can I borrow this? One of my neighbors asked me one, come knock on the door one day, and he said, hey, man, I know you and I are friends and everything. He said, my car insurance is due. And I knew the guy was trying. I knew he was doing the very best he could. He was going through hardship. He said, my car insurance is due. And he said, it literally embarrasses me to ask you this, Wallace, but he said, would you let me have the money to pay my car insurance? I said, no. I would not lend you the money. But I said, how much is it? And he told me, and I said, I won't lend it to you, but I'll give it to you. Okay, I won't lend it to you, but because you know why? Because I'd rather have your friendship. And if I lend it to you, we could jeopardize our friendship. Amen? I've learned a lot over the years, and you know what? I've learned a lot in recent years. Amen? Sometimes it's better just to pay someone's bill that they owe rather than lending it to them, because you know what? Chances are, if they're going through that kind of struggle, they probably may not pay you back anyway. The story was told of a man who was riding down a country road. The guy's name was Sam. He borrowed money from someone. And it was a rural road. There was nothing out there but trees and farmland. And he met the guy that he borrowed the money from down this rural road. They're seeing each other. They recognize the vehicle. And Sam, as fate would have it, when he got along beside the other vehicle, the windshield facing him, he just goes like this and starts looking up into the trees. Shoo, passed on by. He looked in his rearview mirror. Skirt! Guy stopped, did a high-speed U-turn, come back and pulled him over in the spirit of a highway patrolman. Said, pull over! He got out. He said, what is it? He said, you know you owe me, and I know you owe me, so don't turn your head. There's nothing to look at in them trees. Now pay me when you can. Okay? But here the Bible says that, you know what? He would not make a borrower out of you. He'd make a lender out of you. Amen. How many of y'all love that promise? Come on. Verse 13, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. This is the law of repetition in the scriptures. Over and over and over, he's saying the same thing. You will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Sometimes we have a tendency to think we're at the bottom, but honey, you ain't on the bottom. You're far from the bottom. Let me tell you something. I've been in nations that I could show you that what the bottom looks like. You're not at the bottom. You're very well close to the top. In fact, most people from America are considered wealthy by other national standards. Verse 14, do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Do you hear the Lord? It's the year to hear. Do you hear the Lord? Can you hear him? Can you hear what he's saying in his word? You and I have to hear the Lord in this new season of our lives, this new year, 2019, this new opportunity, this clean slate. We must hear the Lord. A friend of mine recently was considering purchasing a piece of real estate. Was being foreclosed upon, the value of a piece of property. The property, I saw the inch and a half thick appraisal on it. The property is worth a little over $800,000. And this friend of mine was considering buying it. And he'd made up his mind that in the foreclosure proceedings that he would seize that opportunity to buy this property if it stayed around $250,000. He and his wife and family had discussed it, and it was going to be $250,000 was the line. And so he went to talk to the banker who was in charge, and the banker in charge let him know that, well, it's going to be more than we had thought that it was going to be. So we're talking about not $250,000, but $350,000. And so this friend of mine said to the banker, he said, well, you know what, I can't do that. He said, I can do it financially, but I can't do it. The banker said, why? He said, because I talked to my wife about it. We're together on the same page at $250,000. And he said, if I did this, I'd be violating my agreements and understanding and peace that I have with my wife, because she's not feeling it. She's not feeling $350,000. And he said to me, this is the valuable thing. He said, Wallace, he said, wisdom was telling me that if I move ahead of my wife on this, that I would be asking for all kinds of problems. In other words, he said, I've heard from the Lord. Okay. He didn't hear the voice of God, but he heard God say to him in the still small voice, don't violate the agreement that you already have at $250,000 with your wife and go home and say, well, we didn't get it for $250,000, but I spent another $100,000. He did the right thing. What did he do? He heard from the Lord. Can you hear from the Lord? Can you hear God's voice in even simple things? How many of you know that if you do that which is right, things will work out well? But how many of you know if you do not do that which is right, things don't turn out too well? The Bible bears this out. If you keep reading Deuteronomy, we just shake and shimmer at the words that come from the scriptures here. We shake and shimmer at all these things. Oh, listen to the blessings. But if you keep on reading, don't stop reading. If you go down to chapter 28 and begin with verse 15, check this out. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God, and do not carefully follow all his commands and his decrees that I'm giving you today, all these, can we just not read this part? Can we just not look at this part? All these curses will come on you. And, he says, overtake you. You'll be, hey, you remember this language? You'll be cursed in the city and in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough, familiar words, I remember the promises, don't you? Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed, always empty. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flock. You'll be cursed when you come in, cursed when you go out. Wait a minute, God. Same language, different feeling. Same language, different outcome. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hands to. Wasn't it wonderful when we were reading just a moment ago of how everything you put your hand to is blessed? Now, he says, everything you put your hand to will be cursed until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in what? In forsaking him. Some people die a slow death in their life. Their life is a downward spiral, a slow death, because they have not believed on the Lord and they have not become recipients of his divine promises. And you can read on and on and on and on, and you'll find that it pays to hear the Lord and it pays to obey the voice of the Lord. 2019 is the year to zero in on the voice of the Lord your God. You need to hear him, not your selfish desires. You need to hear him, not what your zodiac says. I see people on Facebook from Carpenter Shop. Well, today's a good day. Get excited, Pisces fans. I saw a person last week. You know, you said, Pastor, you mention that a lot. I read it like a newspaper. It's the news. Don't take but a few minutes. I saw somebody in our church, so disappointing, thanking the karma. Oh, the karma's in my favor today. You know what? You don't even know what you're saying. It's ignorance. That's a Buddhist thought. Okay? And if I have anything going my way, big old fat-bellied Buddha ain't got nothing to do with it. Okay? In fact, he is dead. Okay? If anything good is going my way and things good are going good my way, then God is blessing me. God is releasing his divine blessings on me because he's the one who promised to release blessings on my life. When you feel that spirit of depression, listen for his voice. When you need to make that decision, listen to his voice. When you need divine direction, make sure it's him that you hear. I close today with the words of Isaiah the prophet. Chapter 30, verse number 21. He says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You know what you're looking for as a believer? You're looking for that relationship with God that your ears are attuned to hear his voice. Your ears are attuned to hear his voice. You know whether to buy it or not buy it. You know? You know whether to say yes or no. One time I was elected by 100% of a church's vote in Lancaster, South Carolina. Pastor Joy and I preached there that morning. I never will forget it, the chairman of the board that was handling all the business of bringing a new pastor in. His name was Charles Kelly. He was an FBI agent. I remember him calling us because we had been selected by 100% of the vote. There were 86 votes cast, and we received 86 votes to be the pastor of that church in Lancaster, South Carolina. Parsonage, beautiful parsonage, 3-bedroom, 2-car garage. They furnished a car for the pastor, had a nice salary. And just down the road from the parsonage was a waterfall. You could hear the water rushing from the yard of the church. Beautiful place. And I heard the Lord say to me, don't do that. And I said, God, I live in a college apartment, okay? 600 square feet. I've been to Bible college. I've got 2 kids. I got a chance here, God, I'm telling God like he doesn't know this. I got a chance here for a nice church. They can take care of me. They even give us a car. Lord, did you see the waterfall down the street? And I heard the Lord say, no. I remember the board member calling me and saying, Pastor Phillips, he said, what's the problem? Do we need to sweeten the pot? We're willing. And I said, no. I said, the problem is I heard the Lord say, don't do this. I'll never forget it. About 6 weeks went by, and I got a kind telephone call. Hey, Wallace, Charles Kelly, Lancaster, South Carolina. Just wanted to thank you. I said, what for? Thank you for not coming here. And I said, how so? He said, the pastor that resigned before we voted on you, he said he contacted us about 3 days after you were there that Sunday. And he asked to sit down and meet with the board. We sat down with him, and in tears he said, I have missed God. I should have never resigned my job. Can I please come back? And he said he's coming back to take up where he left off. Thank you for listening to the voice of God. Just because they dangle the money, the house, the car, and just because God manifests a beautiful waterfall that you can hear from the church or the parsonage doesn't mean that God wants you to go there. You need to hear his voice. Can you hear? Because you need to be able to hear, because you know what? I believe with all my heart, 2019 is the year to hear. It's the year for you to turn your ear to the things of God. Are you listening to me this morning? Are you hearing God saying to you this morning, I want more of your life? Are you hearing God say to you this morning, I want you to sell out to me, not to the things of this world? Are you hearing God say to you this morning, I want you to turn your life over to Jesus, not yourself? Are you hearing God today? If you're here this morning and you need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to stand to your feet and come and meet me here at this altar. Would you do that? Come on, if you need to make a fresh commitment to the things of Christ, maybe you've turned your back on God. Maybe things haven't been running the way that they should be running in your life. Maybe for you today is a day where you need to make a fresh commitment to the things of God. Come, stand in His presence. Somebody will meet you here to pray with you. Could I get you just to where you are, just stand just for a moment? I want you to listen to the words of this song. I want you to make a fresh commitment where you are to just say, Lord, I want to hear your voice this year. I want to hear you like I haven't heard you in a long time. I want to turn the volume up on your voice, God, and I want to hear you over the sounds that are so, so, so vying for my attention. I want to hear you. Listen to the words.
Thank you.
There's nothing you cannot do. There is 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 nothing you cannot do.
Challenge to you is to purpose in your heart that 2019 will be the year that you say, Lord, I want to hear you. Can I just tell you, he will speak to you. He will speak to you in the still small voice. He will speak to you in the circumstance. He will speak to you through other people. He will speak to you through his word as you avail yourself to read his word. God will speak to you. And if you're going to be successful, if you're going to be blessed, if you're going to live out the conditions of the blessings of God in Deuteronomy 28, if you're going to be the nation of God's people that stands high above the rest because you walk in the blessings of God, then you're going to have to give yourself wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, all of you, not just part, you give yourself wholly to the things of God, then God will manifest those blessings on your life. He's a conditional God, he is. He has the blessings to give, and he wants to, but he's waiting for you to give yourself to him. He that has an ear, let him hear. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the church today in this local assembly. In Jesus' name. Would you be seated for a moment, please? One of my favorite parts of the world is the Middle East. I love what happens in those nations that are surrounding the Middle East. And this morning we are blessed to have a missionary with us for a missions window. That means that she just raises the window of her life and lets you peep in and see what God's called her to do. And Pastor Joy and I had a chance to meet Danielle Smith earlier in the year of 2018 at one of our Assemblies of God meetings. And I opened the door for her to come here and share with us this morning. Would you welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church, missionary to Turkey, Danielle Smith. Would you welcome her?
Good morning. It's good to be here in Ahoskie with you guys. My grandmother actually grew up in Windsor. So every time I come to this area, it kind of feels like I'm coming home again. I don't know about you guys, but the new year is just an amazing time of excitement and anticipation and eagerness of what God's going to speak, how he's going to move, but not just in your life or my life, but in the lives of people around us, in our nation and in nations around the world. And so I'm excited to see this year how God's going to move in this church, in this community, in this nation, and in nations all over the world. Just to give you guys a little bit of a back story for me, I'm actually a missionary kid to West Africa. I grew up on the mission field. My parents were missionaries before I was born, and they're still missionaries today. So they've been on the field for a little while. But even though I grew up as a missionary kid, I didn't actually dream of ever becoming a missionary myself. It wasn't until I was in college, I came back to the States, went to Wingate University near Charlotte. Anyone know Wingate grads? Oh man, too far from here, I guess. Anyways, I went to school at Wingate, and during that time, God called me to the nation of Uzbekistan. And I know what you're probably thinking, where on earth is Uzbekistan? Because that's exactly what I was thinking when God called me there. And it turns out it's a former Soviet republic. It's in Central Asia. It's got about 32 million people, and it's predominantly Islamic. And Uzbekistan is what we consider what we call a closed country, which means they don't want foreigners coming in and sharing the gospel. They don't want people coming and talking about Jesus, and they don't want locals getting saved. And so because of that, I have been serving in Istanbul, Turkey, and that's where I'm continuing to serve until we can build a team to go into Uzbekistan. But I want you guys to picture something with me real quick. I Googled this morning the population of Ahoskie, and if Google can be trusted, it's a little under 5,000, if that sounds right. Okay, a little under 5,000. So I want you to imagine that of those 5,000 people here in Ahoskie, that 4,650 had never seen a Bible before. 4,650 had never seen a church before. 4,650 had never met a Christian before. 4,650 had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. In fact, of those 5,000 people, less than 2 professed to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And those statistics seem pretty incredible and unbelievable in this context here in America, and yet it is a reality for nations all over the world and the part of the world that I'm serving in Central Asia. Uzbekistan, like I mentioned, has 32 million people. Of those 32 million people, 93% belong to unreached people groups. 93% belong to people groups that have no access to the gospel. Of all Uzbeks worldwide, 0.03% profess to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. If those same statistics applied here in Ahoskie, then 4,650 of the total population would have no access to the gospel, and less than 2 people would be believers. I work with an initiative called Live Dead. You may or may not be familiar with it, but our whole focus is we want to go to these parts of the world that are least reached and completely unreached, and we want to share the gospel with people who otherwise might never have an opportunity to hear it. And so we want to go and we want to do church planting among unreached people groups through teams. And one of the first things that we do when we get to a country is we start language studying. Any of you guys learned a foreign language before? Okay, you feel my pain then. It's a little hard, right? And so I got to Turkey a little over 3.5 years ago, and I began studying Turkish. My language teacher, I'll call her Ruth, she was this really lively, energetic, fun-loving, recent college grad, and we had a lot of fun together, and when I met her, Ruth was an atheist. And several months after I got to know her, she opened up to me one day, and she said, you know, when I was in high school, I wanted to know God more, and I wanted to be closer to him. And she said, so I started reading the Quran. She turned to the only thing she knew to turn to in that society, in that culture, and that's Islam. And she said, I started reading the Quran, and I started doing what I thought I was supposed to do. I started giving to the poor. I started covering my head, praying 5 times a day, doing everything that I thought a woman that follows God should do. And she said, and I did that for months. And after months of doing it, I realized that if God was the God of the Quran, I wanted nothing to do with him. And so she went the total opposite direction and became an atheist. Really more agnostic. Maybe God existed, maybe he didn't, but she didn't want to have anything to do with him if he was the God of the Quran. And so My teammate and I, we began sharing life and faith with Ruth, and we would strategically use Bible stories in our language lessons, which she probably knew exactly what we were doing, but we didn't really care. And so we were sharing the gospel with her, and about 6 months after I landed, Ruth gave her life to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. And Ruth knew that there would be a cost. It wasn't always easy. She told her family eventually that she became a follower of Jesus. Her mother and her mother's side of the family are very devout Muslims. Her mother hit her. Her uncles, her mother's brothers, they would come over. They'd get in arguments with her. They'd say, "You need to repent. You're a rebellious child. You're a shame to this family." She would say, "No, I follow Jesus Christ." They would hit her. She came to class one day, and I saw she had a mark on her face, and I said, "Ruth, what happened?" And she said, "Well, my uncles came over last night, and I told them again that I wouldn't become a Muslim, and they hit me in the face." And this is her reality. For months, she had to go through this. And I still remember the day that she came in to class, and she said, "I don't know why I have to go through all of this. I don't know why all of this is happening to me. I don't know why it has to be this hard. All I know is that I'm called to love my family well. And that's what I want to do." And 5 months after Ruth got saved, she led her mother to faith. Praise God again. And her mother is illiterate. So she can't read the Bible, she can't read anything, and so she's completely dependent on other people teaching the gospel to her. And so she was afraid to tell anyone in her family because she comes from this really devout family. And so about 3 months after Ruth's mother, I'll call her Naomi, we'll stick in theme, Ruth and Naomi, and I'll call her Naomi. Naomi says they have this holiday coming up. And there's this, it's this big celebration called Kurban Bayram. It's a time when it's an Islamic holiday. They sacrifice animals. They sacrifice a sheep. And it's like a Thanksgiving in a weird way there. But it's a big time of family reunion. Everyone comes together. We want to hang out. Want to eat lots of food. That's how I'm feeling right now. I think I gained 10 pounds over Christmas and New Year's because I ate lots of food. And so they just have a lot of fun coming together and eating and fellowshipping as a family. And so they decided that year, this was last year, Naomi and Ruth were going to go to Naomi's side of the family to celebrate. And they already knew that Ruth was a believer, but didn't know that Naomi was one because she was afraid to tell them. And they get there, and Naomi's father, who's pretty elderly, was talking about pain that he had. And the boldness of the Spirit just fell on her, and she said, "I want to pray for you." And when you're a Muslim and you pray for someone, you recite or you read prayers from the Quran. And so he said, "Okay, someone go get the Quran so she can pray for me." And she said, "No, I don't need the Quran. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ." Have any of you guys seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Yeah? Do you know how crazy that family is? That's Turks. So Naomi has 8 siblings and 12 children. So you can imagine how many people are in this room at this family reunion, and they just start yelling at her when she says this. "What are you doing? You're going to ruin our family. You're going to bring evil spirits into this place." And so she tells them, she's the oldest child, and she tells them to be quiet and sit down, and they have to listen to her because she's the oldest child. And they do, and she begins to pray over her father for an hour. And nothing happened immediately. She goes into the kitchen. She's helping with the food preparations. And a few hours later, her siblings come running back in, and they're yelling, and they're saying, "What have you done? You're going to kill our father. You've brought evil spirits into this place. You need to fix it." And so she goes into the next room where her dad is. She pats him on the shoulder, and she said, "Dad, what's wrong?" And he said, "All my life, I've been a good Muslim. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. I've given to the poor. I've made the sacrifices. I've gone to Mecca. I pray 5 times a day. I do everything like I'm supposed to do. And for years, I've been praying for God to heal me. And you came, and in one time, you prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, and all my pain is gone." And And so Naomi had been a believer 3 or 4 months, and she began sharing the gospel. They were supposed to, Ruth and Naomi were supposed to leave that day, but Naomi said, I'm not leaving. They're hungry for the word. And so she stayed, and she shared all that she knew. She gets to the end of the week, and she calls up Ruth, who was the expert believer at that point because she'd been a believer 9 months instead of 4 months. And she calls them, she said, I've shared everything I know to share with them. They're still hungry for more. You got to come over here and talk to them. And so Ruth said, okay, I'll be over there. She goes over, and she now leads those very same uncles and grandfather that once hit her, that once were physically and verbally abusive to her. She now leads in a Discovery Bible study to learn more about who Jesus is. And I'd ask you to keep that family in your prayers. Those uncles and the grandfather haven't accepted yet because they're afraid of the shame that it would bring on them as men of position in their culture. But I just spoke with Ruth a few weeks ago, and I asked her how her uncles were doing, and she said, you know, I went to meet with my uncle one day, and he told me that he had a dream. And in that dream, a man in white came to him and said, I won't leave you until you discover truth. And so I believe that this family is going to discover truth, and I believe that they're going to see their entire family reached in their community, and we're going to see that pour out to the nations around them. As I've been in the States this past year or so, God has put a verse on my heart as I've been praying for Uzbekistan and Turkey and the lost and the unreached in our part of the world. And he put Isaiah 43:19, and it says, see, now I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I believe God is doing that right now. Even as we look at the statistics that seem daunting, even as we look at all of the millions of people, 400 million people along the Silk Road that have not heard the gospel, and yet he's moving. He's reaching people like Ruth and Naomi and their family, and he won't be stopped by any of those statistics. And so I would just like to thank you guys for the part that you play in praying and sending out missionaries to reach the lost. And I'd like to ask you to keep praying, one, for Ruth and her family. Pray that her uncles and grandfather would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. For God, please also pray for God to throw open doors that no man can shut. And pray for God to raise up more people like Ruth and Naomi to multiply across the 400 million people along the Silk Road. Thank you guys so much. God bless.
Thank you, Danielle. I asked Danielle, what is your greatest need? And she's braced to leave for the field, hopefully by late February. And so for the Assemblies of God missionary, there are two budgets that they're responsible for. That's a cash budget and an ongoing monthly budget. It's always been my desire that every family in this church have a missionary that they can call their own. So I simply placed Danielle before you this morning. We are going to receive an offering for her cash budget. That's always helpful for a missionary. So if you're writing a check, just write it to Carpenter Shop Church and just put Danielle Smith on it. But what I'm asking you for this morning, and I thoroughly believe that the blessing of God rests upon Carpenter Shop International Church because we are a missions church. You know, right in the middle of a busy holiday, December, that you, Carpenter Shop International Church, on a Sunday morning, gave just under $3,000 extra to missions for our youth ministry. Right in the middle of the busiest, most demanding financial month of the year, you gave an additional $3,000 to missions. So this morning, I'm asking you, if you hear the Holy Spirit saying to you, partner with Danielle, and that's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the table and say, Danielle, I want to partner with you. I can give you $25 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month, whatever the Holy Spirit lays on your heart. Partner with Danielle, okay? Ask her for a missions form. She'll tell you how to take care of that. You can give your money monthly to Carpenter Shop so that you get your financial credit, but the money will go to her missions account through the Assemblies of God. So that's what I need. I need for you to adopt Danielle Smith as a missionary, if God speaks to your heart about that. Father, thank you for your willingness to speak to us. Thank you for your precious promises, Lord, that are so true. The blessings that we talked about today that you desire to give. Lord, we preached about hearing today. And here's a test for us. There are some that will hear you say right now, partner with that young lady. Lord, I pray that those who hear that will respond today and say, hey, I'm with you for 2019 and just do it for a year. I pray that you would cause them to be obedient. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to us because, Lord, it's our desire to be a church that's known for equipping the world with missionaries to share the gospel of Christ, not just here in Ahoskie, but into the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm thanking you, Lord, in advance for greater, greater, greater missions giving than we've ever had before in the history of this church. We want to give it away, Lord. We want to bless you and bless the world with the message of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for being a missions church. Amen.
Steadfast my soul, he's in the waiting, he's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing, he's never failing. Take courage, my heart, stay steadfast, my soul.